This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
All right, so we've got a legitimate creative tension, conflict going on around here because I wanted today to come in here and just sort of, as a Miami radio show, never mention the Miami Heat and the finals at all, okay? Just do the whole show without mentioning that the Heat lost because we've been goofy and obsessed and weird over the last few months being basketball dorks in the middle of a pandemic. And we are grateful to this Heat team for during the worst time of our generation's life, in the most upside down American year there has been that anyone can remember.
Yep.
That we would get the feel good of getting taken away by a basketball team and asking Amin El-Hassan his opinion on something very important, like how do you defend Anthony Davis in the post? And so we became, for a while there, your dorky sports radio show. And I wanted to come in today and never once mention the NBA Finals. Just blow through the show. Start with the Dolphins win at San Francisco.
That's a big one.
A giant win. The Dolphins, I told you this a couple of weeks ago, the Dolphins are last in football the last 20 years with 40-point games. Four. They had four in the last 20 years. The Jets had 12, and they've been terrible. Four. And yesterday, somehow, out of nowhere, because football.
Oh, because of Fitzmagic.
Because just football. Just football. San Francisco is a big favorite, loses to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins score 43 points. But we could do a show about just about anything. We were going to ignore the finals. But Mike and Stugatz thought that would be really annoying to the audience, that they wouldn't find it funny, they wouldn't find it entertaining, they would just get bothered. Which leads us to Get Up. So while we're doing this, Get Up spends the entire time, as we're doing the local hour and we're doing the digital-only hour, the BS, as we're doing those things, Stugatz, we're sitting here talking about, not talking about the finals, and a full hour goes by, and it seems like Get Up never got to the finals. It was just Dak Prescott and the injury. And so what I wanted to do is sort of talk about the juxtaposition of these things because the symbolism of it to me is interesting. A bad Dallas team that is simply famous in our most popular sport lost its quarterback, who is a second-tier quarterback above, just below the greatest you're seeing and is having an unbelievable year. Money with the finances that we talked about, like first, hey, good God, you spent the entire pandemic talking about Dak's contract. And then he gets hurt with a gruesome Joe Theismann, one of those injuries where the foot is sideways, the things that you remember.
I'll say that Dallas team, that bad Dallas team that you just mentioned, is 2-3 and in first place. I mean,
okay, yes.
I'm just letting you know.
Fair enough, yes. But it is a bad Dallas team. My point being, though, look at how this is being covered. On the day of actual achievement, we're choosing fame and you can't say news because it's not any newer than LeBron James. That's supposed to be the achievement. The winning of the championship. This guy you've been criticizing across four decades on this network, except on Mondays during football season.
Right.
Like across a decade at this network. It's just been criticism of he can't do it. And just we ate it up a couple days ago when Danny Green missed the shot. And then we fed on him again with can't do it. What are you passing up the shot for?
He did it. He won his fourth. And Get Up spent the entire morning talking about the Cowboys quarterback.
That's pretty amazing. Yes. When you look at it, just put that side by side as sports is upside down weird. The guy has the achievement. He won the title. It's not a 2-3 regular season game record. He just won the title. And Mike Greenberg can't stop talking to Rex Ryan about Dak Prescott's injury.
It is pretty amazing as we are debating amongst ourselves. Do we do this artistic thing, this bit where we maybe possibly annoy the audience by ignoring the achievement of last night entirely? And Get Up does it.
Unironically,
the entire show, LeBron James was a trivia question on a rejoin.
It's so good. I mean, you can't make it up because I sided with Stugatz and Mike when they said, yeah, that's probably going to annoy the audience. And then we saw Get Up actually do it without a meeting. Like they didn't have a meeting to say, let's ignore LeBron. It's just they got swept up in Dak. Wait a minute, this thing we were talking about when there were no sports during the pandemic. We talked about it for weeks and weeks and months and months and months and weeks and months. First Take obsessing over the nuances of the Dak contract for months.
Now, First Take has decided to lead with LeBron and the NBA Finals last night. I wonder if they would have done the same. Well, if Dallas lost, I mean.
That's Stephen A's doing. We got sound of Stephen A being somber now because he knows he can't dance around. Like, he's been enjoying dancing on the Dallas Cowboys. I just find the interesting. Sure. What I find interesting is the symbolism of fluff and entertainment versus the stuff that's real achievement. Stephen A is playing a character when he feuds with Dallas Cowboy fans. It is a wrestling persona on television, even though Stephen A has journalism credentials, but we've all traded those a little bit to be on this network as dancing clowns. Like, that's we've traded on that. And so he wears a black hat and he enjoys when the Cowboys are suffering. But now the Stephen A we got was somber Stephen A because the injury was gruesome. And underneath the wrestling persona, there's a human being inside of Stephen A. So he's not going to mock the Cowboys or Dak Prescott there.
No, and this is, I think, the reason this story resonates, besides the fact that it's America's team and America's team's quarterback. I think what resonates, Dan, is just, I think it's relatable, where you see a guy being carted off the field who probably should have signed a long-term deal, didn't sign that long-term deal, and cost himself $75 to $100 million.
Really gruesome injury, and don't know how career-threatening it is with modern science, but would seem to be that he will not be exactly the same player because of the how gruesome that injury was. Because watching it on television, it punched you in the face. But I just want the audience and everyone to realize what we're doing on sports today. LeBron James just won his fourth title. All we've done is compare him poorly over the last decade to Michael Jordan, the one player against whom we can compare him poorly. Some of you, I guess, might say Kobe Bryant. And then you get last night's moment, which isn't just LeBron winning a title, but in the year of Kobe Bryant's death for the franchise of Kobe Bryant. It can't sneak into the Kardashians of sports, the Dallas Cowboys. They're the Kardashians. They are the sports team for our generation. Not very good, but really famous. Like, they are hugely famous, and they've won how many playoff games? We hire all of their players to be our most important announcers.
Yep.
And when's the last time Romo famously didn't win playoff games?
Like, I think they won a playoff year. The year they lost to the Packers on the Dez Bryant play.
It's been a generation since the Cowboys were the kind of elite that we give them in terms of respect and coverage that has nothing to do with excellence and everything to do with fame.
I kind of feel like it's the nature of how the Lakers went about winning. That game was over at halftime. It didn't feel like someone won a title last night. It was just weird with no fans being there to celebrate with the team. So I think it had LeBron hit a game-winning shot to win Game 6, perhaps.
Be more excellent, most excellent guy we've ever seen.
He was too good, exactly.
No, he was too good, but you want him to be more excellent than that, but more for the stories, for the drama.
No, I just want him to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
He probably could.
This is where we are, though, right? It's just Football Monday, and so Dak Prescott, those early games were not a lot of fun, although Mike Ryan, I imagine, is beaming today because he's got a 4-1 football team.
Yeah, he had the late game yesterday. The schedule changes. That wasn't always the... He got
erratic Mayfield and won anyway against a good defense, or what something's reputed to be a good defense.
Mayfield was great in that first half, but second half erratic, but outdueled by more erratic Phillip Rivers.
Well, I don't know who you're most excited about on the Browns, but Myles Garrett is like one of these Khalil Mack type menaces. Like, it might not be the, you know, Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack yet, but if there's a second tier, he's right there.
Those early games, I don't know. I mean, that first game, that Chiefs Raiders game was fantastic. I mean, the Raiders.
There's also
the for real again.
I think they are this week.
Well, when you talk about the games yesterday, there's the elephant in the room that you know, there's COVID happening, and we have no idea when games are. Anyways, like the Chargers had four games moved, and they haven't even had a COVID outbreak.
The Bills are playing on Tuesday. Is Romo doing both games? Are we going to just keep having, like, how does this work? Who's the CBS broadcast team?
I felt
Tuesday Titans Bills.
You know who I felt really bad for? Because ESPN actually got a win. Last week, they got a loss because Mahomes was going up against Belichick, and that game ended up against Nance and Romo, and they could only get, like, advertising for Falcons-Packers, which was the lesser game. But this week, we were supposed to have a Monday night doubleheader. It was going to be Fowler and Herbie, who flew immediately to Foxborough following the game at Death Valley between Miami and Clemson. I follow Chris Fowler on Instagram. He was preparing for this game like you wouldn't believe. Land, touchdown, wake up the next morning, game canceled.
Tom McCarthy will be on the call of the Bills-Titans game along with Jay Feely. It's CBS's number 7 broadcasting team. I'm not being rude there. I'm just reading it right off the page. That's what it says. I mean, there's no need to put that nugget in there.
Hold on a second. They've got what a monster.
I
know football's a monster. Okay, but they've got 7 broadcasting teams. The person you mentioned, I mean him no disrespect.
Tom McCarthy.
Jay Feely is who I was talking about there. That is not one of their best broadcast teams.
It's their 7th, Dan.
Their 7th. And Greg Gumbel was calling Lamar Jackson Murray all game yesterday and also had an interception that he called a reception. He's their lead broadcast team, is he not?
I believe that's their number 2.
Number 2, Nance and Romo. And so Gumbel is the number 2.
Yeah, Gumbel. I believe Gumbel. I could be wrong, though, but I believe he's number 2. Yeah.
I just want you to know that earlier in the show, I was wondering aloud and asking the question and didn't even mean it as disrespect to the great Gumbel broadcasting family or Greg Gumbel himself, but I was asking the question, are these announcers at the games? Because it doesn't seem like they can see what is happening out there when you've got an interception that is you're calling as a reception and there was nobody but the defending linebacker there.
Right. Gumbel had to apologize for the entirety of the afternoon. I mean, all of it.
For Lamar Jackson for calling him Murray, who we made earlier in the show Murray Jackson.
And the interception. He called him Murray Jackson.
No,
there isn't a Murray on either roster.
No, it's Kyler Murray. He confused him.
He was playing a game in New York.
Don Lebatard.
Mike Ryan is very excited. He's been talking for months about Disney Plus. It's coming, Stugatz. It's finally arriving.
You getting the bundle? You getting the plus bundle? The Hulu ESPN Plus Disney bundle? I don't know what I'm going to watch first.
Stugatz.
People have been waiting for this for a long time.
Oh, they're launching with The Mandalorian, which is a Star Wars like themed like bounty hunter miniseries that looks incredible. It's got a huge, big-time budget.
Is Favreau doing that?
Yeah. Jon Favreau. Favreau was.
Did you go last name on purpose, or you just forgot about the first name for a second?
Well, it also sounds like you forgot about the last name. I called him Favreau.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. It is. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lawn.
Is that Jack White back there?
It's the White Stripes, yes.
Man, they were good. He was good on Saturday Night Live. You got an old school Saturday Night Live episode with a crowd in place, you guys. It felt like the glory days of SNL a little bit, because you got Jack White performing at the height of his powers.
Right.
The last rock star, and doing the appearance on a moment's notice because the country western guy was, you know, being flippant about the pandemic, and they took away his gig because they took pictures of him, making out with somebody. And so Jack White steps in, and then Bill Burr steps in with a rare comedy, don't give a bleep about any of you. I'm going to make fun of white women now. And you know what white women are going to do? They're going to get really angry and prove my point about white women. And then he's going to leave the stage, and it was art. You know, it's art for Bill Burr. That's exactly what he does.
Right.
Louis C.K. was going to be that comic. I remember one time Stugatz coming in here and being just awed that Louis C.K. started some SNL routine with like pedophilia as a topic, Israeli conflict as a topic, and then some third thing that was right on the rail. And I'm like, this guy doesn't fear anything. And so Bill Burr, actually, as the white guy, Boston guy, actually, you know, was on the edge, living on the edge. And one of the great things about it was the discomfort of the crowd reminded you of old dangerous comedy, because the crowd's an ultra, it's an ultra liberal crowd. And he was on the line because he's always saying, he's not yelling about cancel culture. He's always sort of saying they're jokes. It's comedy. Like, isn't this the point? The point is just to sort of, you know, cause the sparks that make you laugh a little bit.
New York City is still super strict about their COVID regulations. So I read that Lorne Michaels has to cast the entire audience. Otherwise, they are not allowed to be in attendance. So he's actually paying every audience member now.
Makes sense. I mean, it does,
but
right?
It felt they went to great lengths, just like the bubble went to great lengths to get LeBron this championship, the league. I mean, it can't be said enough. It really can't. The big winner is the league. They got to the finish line, 172 games, zero positive tests. Like, it's crazy. They were able to figure it out without a lot of precedent or science. They threw a ton of money at it. And wow, we got a champion, and it doesn't feel like it should have an asterisk on it. It feels like a champion. It feels like the Lakers earned that. They were playing against very good basketball, even if the teams weren't on the top tiers in terms of seeding. You saw an excellence from the basketball teams because they weren't traveling. They were playing in the same gym every day. The skill level was very high.
Naturally, it wasn't the same. It just wasn't. But there should not be an asterisk. Wow, that was
good
bad.
Lord. No, just stop.
Asterisk next just to it.
Rare mispronunciation stop. And cough into the microphone.
Yeah, why do I need to stomp, though?
Just stop for a second, because you owe us $5.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I'm not sure I have money on
it. You're not wearing a mask either. You're not wearing a mask as you do that. And I'm like 6 feet from you, but by the slightest of measurements, yeah. And not if you've gained some weight over the weekend. Like, $5, and you should probably owe more. You should put your entire health benefits card up there, because what you just did to me is potentially lethal and dangerous, even though your coach of your University of Florida football team wants 90,000 of you coughing on each other so that he can win next Saturday.
I put a 20 there for future fines this week. I apologize. I don't even remember what we were talking about. I have no idea.
I wanted to talk about the greatness of the loser in this case. I wanted to talk about how the Miami Heat stirred something in South Florida, punctuating a decade, a weird decade. Man, we got a generation of kids down here who learned about basketball over the last 10 years of crazy down
yes.
here, which started with LeBron James winning for this city and ended with LeBron James breaking the heart of this city, because none of you like this team, a poor man's version of the us against the world that LeBron and Wade and Bosh had. Nobody out there was rooting for this team or liked this team, but South Florida fell in love with this team over the course of the season. And it took LeBron James at the height of his powers at 35 finals MVP to break them over his knee. But this region is legitimately proud of this team, at least in part, Stugatz, because it dragged us through an unpleasant, unholy time with a blessed little sugar of escape every once in a while, so we didn't have to think about how feces-soaked 2020 has been for 3 hours a couple of nights, so that good crazy fear would get in you from these games. Fear taught to us by those 2010 teams, because this was a poor man's version of that. This was not that in any way, but this city absolutely ended up falling in love with this team.
Don Lebatard.
We have a montage
of
useless sound that will be for... I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my voice. What do you want me to do?
I can't relate at all. I cannot relate.
Stugatz.
I'll tell you what happened there. I just shoveled 4 turkey sticks into my face without using my hands. And I ate them the way that a pelican might.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
McMenamin scares you a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does.
You always seem a little surprised. I don't think you've ever messed it up, but it's a lot of M's in a row, and I can see you sort of slowing down before that speed bump.
And when I nail it, I pause afterwards because I'm so kind proud of myself. It's kind of like Kerry Strug on the horse. Yes, that's exactly. Gymnastics.
That's what it is. Gymnastics from the 1990s.
Stuck the land.
Yes, landing well. Stugatz's weekend observations are going to be in a half hour. Doug Brown is sitting in for Christine Lacey. Doug, does McMenamin scare you as well, or as a broadcast professional, you're not scared of that very much?
That doesn't scare me, but Stugatz comparing himself to Kerry Strug, that scares me.
Yes, that's quite a visual right there, if you remember that gymnastics moment. Give him his kazoos.
And finally, Only one third of adults worldwide can digest milk without intolerance. Speaking of things two-thirds of people have problems digesting, Dan and Stu, back to you.
Doug, you are a consummate professional. He's a ridiculous professional. He sounds so good. You sound like radio from another time. How long have you been doing this, Doug?
Since another time, I think. Exactly. Got it. You got it right.
It sounds so good, though. It sounds like...
How do you do that?
You have mastered this craft, sculpting over how many years doing this?
Almost 40.
Oh, you are so good at it, dude. Thank
Actually,
you.
I haven't added up for a while. It's a little over 40 now.
Okay. Wow. Thank you for lending your grace and class to these sewage proceedings, sir.
My pleasure to be here, guys.
Right. Stugat, so I wanted to talk about something else as it relates to sports and two things that you had. I've been fascinated by what's happened to ESPN over the last decade, right? LeBron sort of changed everything and made us a network that covered him. And over that time, what we did is a lot of argument television, a whole bunch of gotta find things to debate, gotta find things to tear down somebody or take a different side on. So in that Seahawks-Vikings game last night, and I'm not telling any lies when I say this, Stugatz comes in here today and has no idea what happened in the game. None. He doesn't know, and he just blurts out at one point, wait a minute, the Seahawks won the game? And then he asked Tony and Chris for a download, and they gave him a download because he didn't see a play of it, and he immediately says, oh, Zimmer's a bum. You got to on 4th-and-1. You got to kick the field goal and go up 8. Just instantaneously playing the result that he had just been given, a result that he did not know when he came in here. So criminally playing the result, which is exactly what we've done across 10 years of alleged journalism on ESPN. So this is what you get last night. Did Zimmer blow it when it's only the achievement of the greatest thing in that damn sport? It's Russell Wilson. He's down. He's got no timeouts. You fear him for 94 yards. How is that possible? Because he's galloping on a horse, and you don't know what to do about it. He's only played close games since he was an embryo, and here he comes with no timeouts. Zimmer, the mistake you made was playing against Russell Wilson because he's really excellent at winning close games because he's playing the game at a higher skill level than all but like 5 people ever have played it.
Which is exactly the reason you need to go for 3 in that spot, make it an 8-point game. You know Russell Wilson's going to drive the length of the field. You know he's going to score a touchdown. And if you're up 8, Dan, you know what you can do? You can't lose. That's right. What you can do.
Mike,
okay?
All right. And in that vein, Mike was just pointing at the television here because it is delicious, the lack of irony that ESPN has today. On First Take, the question is, are the Chiefs too dependent on Patrick Mahomes?
Well, that answer's yes. I mean...
Yeah.
Why is that a bad thing? Yeah.
Well, because they lost yesterday.
I would like to be a dependent of Patrick Mahomes.
Why aren't we asking if the Seahawks are too dependent on Russell Wilson? Is it because he won?
Or if the Raiders are good?
I mean, dependent on the greatest quarterback
any of us have ever seen. Yes. And that's a wonderful thing. We all envy them.
The response is clearly start Matt Moore, right?
He had a throw yesterday, Stugatz.
I saw it. I mean, across his body to Kelsey.
Well, no, that's not the one.
Not that throw.
No, it's not that throw. No, it didn't result. It was the first, should have been the first touchdown of the game. And he threw the ball 60 yards in the air and caught Tyreek Hill in double coverage in stride. Like, he was throwing to a totally double-covered receiver who was 60 yards in the air away from him. It got called back because of something, but it's like, I'm watching that, and I'm like, I can make the argument that that's the best throw I've ever seen. And you'd have a hard time arguing. Anybody would have a hard time arguing.
I'm telling you, I'm not certain it's the best throw he made in that game.
I know, but that's what he's routinely doing. But the Chiefs are clearly too dependent on Patrick Mahomes.
They have a cool stat on the lower third. The Chiefs average over 31 points per game in the 9 career losses Patrick Mahomes had. They got held to 32 yesterday, and I'm just waiting for smart people to tell me what they did exactly to hold that offense to 32 points, a threshold that my Browns have just reached for the first time in 3 consecutive weeks since the 1960s.
Listen to me, man. This is how bad football has been for 20 years around here. I gave you that stat before. The Dolphins stunned us yesterday by beating the 49ers because football's weird. In the last 20 years, they had 4 games where they scored 40 points. four before yesterday. It's dead last in the league. That's two decades of bad football we've been eating around here, where we can't even stumble once in a while into a game that the Cowboys have played three times this season.
I mean, even the Jets have stumbled into two AFC championship games.
I mean,
games.
We can't even stumble in. And yesterday, they give us, at the height of Dolphins 1-3-ness, they give us 43 magical points.
The parlay teaser card killer happens every Sunday, Dano.
Miami needed it, though. It was a rough weekend.
What happened to Garoppolo? It was a rough sports weekend. Stugatz proclaimed it the greatest sports week in the history of South Florida, and all it ended with was L's. Every weekday ended with an L for us.
They can't take away game five, even though they tried yesterday.
It got off. It kicked off with a bang. Friday night was unbelievable.
Incredible.
That's it, though. That's it. It all peters out. The height of pandemic sports for us, for South Florida.
The
Billy's,
Dolphins.
Yeah. Billy's Marlins are out. Now we've got to go sulking over there, limping to the 2-3 Dolphin and the 37-year-old Fitzpatrick.
Doesn't the next NBA season start next week? What happens?
No one knows, actually.
You know what's funny? I read this stat. Let me see if I can give the right credit here. It's such a good stat, Stugatz. And if you're looking for some solace in 2020, because the upheaval has been enormous, and I, you know, we're all feeling it the same, and sports has just ended up being a little bit of medicine during a terrible time all around. But since this is a stat that is accurate, since the NBA season started, The Yankees have been eliminated from the postseason twice.
What?
Twice since the NBA season started. That's at Cannon Pod is the credit on that. So basically, if you only get your sports enjoyment and action out of hating someone else, take some solace in the fact that the Yankees not once but twice have been eliminated from the postseason. The last time with Gerrit Cole and his $325 million contract getting eaten up in a game he's got to win against the Rays. That's why they paid him $325 million to win that game, and he lost it. And they got him because they lost the previous postseason.
It's why you shouldn't pay pitchers $325 million.
Are they too dependent on Gerrit Cole?
Let's go. My private jet isn't
it's
going
still
to
up
fuel
there on,
of course
still
it is.
Up there.
Oh, we welcome Bing Orlovsky into the conversation.
Are Chiefs too dependent on Patrick Mahomes?
We honestly worried about doing a bit for the audience, trying not to annoy them, and the artwork that is happening right now on ESPN's daytime programming, it's better than a spoof. I couldn't spoof it this well.
You couldn't make it up. You really couldn't make it. Again, I wanted to come in here and, as a joke, ignore the NBA Finals. Our entire network is doing it today by wondering, are the Chiefs too dependent on Patrick Mahomes?
Don Lebatard.
Our thanks to Dominique Foxworth for sitting in with us. He has sucked at the reads today, but he don't think so. And even if he does think so, he doesn't think he's going to suck at the next one.
Stugatz.
Fox and socks. Socks, box, knocks. Knocks and box. Fox and socks. Knocks on Fox and socks and box. Socks on knocks and knocks and box. Fox gone. Socks on box on knocks. Take that, Dr. Seuss.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. We have news, Dan. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Wilcrest at Wilcrest10 asks, how many times are you going to disparage Magic Johnson at Lebatard Show? It feels personal at this point. You're either doing it for you or Riley, but it's so obvious and disrespectful. He did the work when he brought in LeBron James. How many times, Dan?
I mean, again and again, he left that job. Listen, he just gave up that job, and look at what that job became once he left there.
But really, the job was to be able to get LeBron James, and he got LeBron James.
Yes,
he
but
did
also
that.
He could be overseeing right now an empire. He could be overseeing a champion empire. No?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he still gets a little bit of credit. He's still Magic, and now he could tweet.
Okay.
It's a win-win.
All right, it's just unfortunate timing for Magic that's when he left that job, because soon thereafter, they immediately won without Magic.
I understand. Like Palinka is getting some of his shine, like, you know, stealing some of the credit there, maybe.
There are plenty of shining beacons to speak to LeBron James's greatness. But I think number one is you don't have to be a well-run franchise for him to come over there and completely change your luck. If he wants to go there, doesn't matter how poor of a job you did running your franchise, he will make you relevant again. It got off to a slow start in Los Angeles, but look at all the turmoil they had last year. An absolute joke of a year. It was embarrassing. They can't decide which bus is going to run the organization. Rob Pelinka is laughed at, and now champions of the basketball world.
The amazing thing about LeBron is it does not appear that he's even close to being done. Like, it seems
How could you argue that he's close to being done?
Seems like he could play. I know Dan, but I've never seen a...
No, you have never seen... That's the thing, though, that I've been telling you for a while about appreciating the greatness while not comparing it to Michael Jordan. Over 15 years, this dude's body has been the height of what sports can be. It never gets hurt. It performs at that level. And all we've done for a decade is wonder why he's not as good as Michael Jordan. Jay Williams was doing it after game 5. You can't pass to Danny Green, even though Michael Jordan passed it to Paxson and passed it to Kerr. We're every bit as dumb 10 years later watching this guy play and not recognizing that this is the biggest, baddest thing in the history of the sport. He does all the things Jordan does all of them, and does it 60, 70, 80 pounds heavier.
Right, but he still needs 2 more rings. But here's the thing, Dan. If he's still playing at this level in 2 years, which will make him 38, 39, that's ridiculous. Like, how is he doing it?
Scott, it's ridiculous now. It's not ridiculous 2 or 3 years from now. It's ridiculous now. Anthony Davis is a young man and something unlike anything you've ever seen in the sport. And he's not the best player on that team. LeBron James is. He's the most unstoppable force in the paint. That game got away from Miami simply because everything was at the rim. He just caved everything in. And in a world of athletic men, at the height of the food chain in athleticism, he just kept going in and there was no stopping him. Jimmy Butler, great for 6 days, but now stuck in his butt crack. Like, you can't do anything. Because he's Shaq with skills.
It's
like,
crazy.
He's Shaq with the ability to make 3-pointers from where now Steph makes them. Like, appreciate that evolution, because he was never shooting from over there before. And he's doing you a favor when he shoots from over there, because he'll cave your defense in. He'll cave your head in. He's been doing it for 15 damn years. Young people. It's going to be Kawhi this year. Now it's Steph that's better. Now it's this guy. Giannis is better. And he caves everybody's head in at 35, and we spent all our time on television ripping him for 10 damn years.
You're very upset.
I mean, it's just because you appreciate the excellence. It's hard.
I do appreciate.
He never gets hurt. Like, we could sit here. Miami is proud to merely have gone 6 games with him because they actually beat him with his best punch. And who the hell beats his best punch? Miami goes into its offseason. All right, we're good. He punched us that time, and look, our big guy, he got 12 points in the elimination. Good, Jimmy Butler, you're a hero. You know why? Because you got stuck in LeBron's ass crack. Hero, you're a Miami hero. You've been ripping him across 10 damn years. You personally.
He's not as good as Jordan. What do you want me to tell you?
Taking away championships. He's better.
No.
Now we're doing performance art.
No, he's not.
The day after winning the championship, whose side are you on? LeBron or MJ? You say MJ. I say LeBron. LeBron can win the next 50 titles, and Stugatz would still be here referencing Kerry Strug.
Stuck the landing.
Roy corrects you, by the way. You didn't stick anything else. He says the pommel horse is a man's event.
Oh, it is?
It's the vault.